Thank you, Billy, and good morning, everybody. It's great to be here and talk about a failed bill. But I want to express my appreciation to the Taxpayers Association and all the good work they do getting us focused on transparency and accountability and really being responsible in the way that we manage taxes here in the state of Utah. Now, I am no expert in tax policy. Quite frankly, it confuses and frightens me. But the way that we do understand taxes, I think all of us understand taxes, is on a personal level. And probably the way that it's most keenly felt is when we see that assessment notice arrive in our inbox and we immediately look at it and look at what the government is saying our house is worth. And this became, I became aware of this a few years ago when we got a notice in the mail, and our assessed value on our house had gone up 70% year over year. And the assessed value didn't pass the sniff test. So we knew there was no way we could sell our, you kind of know, right? Is that reasonable? You may not like it, but you have some intuitive sense that, yeah, this is fair, this is not fair. And they had pegged us maybe artificially low, but then definitely way artificially high. Now, fortunately, we'd just gone through refinancing, so we could go right down there and appeal it successfully, fairly easily. We could just hand them the appraisal, hand them a few comps, and it was easy, and it was solved. And we haven't really had a problem with it since. But then I was approached by a constituent probably about this time last year who owns, he's got his own home that's in my district, then he has two rental properties in another district, and then he has a small business in my district, and he likes to build cars that they race out the Bonneville Speedway. So he does these custom cars. This is something he does because he loves it. He doesn't make a lot of money doing it. He got his assessed value on his property 1 year, and the assessed value had gone up 600%. So it puts my little 67% increase in perspective. 600%. Now, fortunately, he has a background in accounting, and he was able to appeal that value and was ultimately successful, but only through a very long, hard-fought battle with the county in terms of arguing over those assessed values. So he had to go through several levels of appeal and finally got it down to an increase, a healthy increase over what it had been, but nowhere near. It was just a fraction of what the county had claimed that his property was worth. In the next year, the assessed value went right back up. And he appealed it and appealed it and appealed it and appealed it and appealed it, finally got it back down. The next year, it went right back up. Now, does anybody know why it's going right back up every year? Because every year it's a reset, and because the county is using software that determines the value, and it's kind of, I hate to say it, but it's garbage in, garbage out. So if they were wrong in year one, they're probably going to be wrong in year two and year three, et cetera, et cetera. Now, there are reasons that it did that. It's not like somebody was out to get him. But the reality was it kept spitting out these values that were exorbitantly high. And he brought that to me. And the proposal, the solution that he wanted to do was put caps on year-over-year increases for taxpayers. And that sounds great. Problem is, it doesn't work with our truth in taxation law, and it's also unconstitutional because our Constitution specifies property taxes are assessed based on fair market value. So if you artificially keep one taxpayer's burden low, you are going to be increasing the burden on other taxpayers. So a cap isn't going to work. And so the question is there anything we can do to help a taxpayer in that situation? And through a lot of hard work and effort, it was tough policy. It was a difficult bill, I think, to put together. But we were able to put together a bill that did a couple things. It doesn't guarantee anybody a great outcome, but provides some what I would call process relief for taxpayers, and it does that in two ways. The first is that if a valuation looks like it's going up dramatically relevant to the market around it, so we have to have this kind of the same universe of properties. We have to have a property owner not making any major improvement to that property that would otherwise artificially change that value. But if we see them increasing over 15% in that relevant market, we just wanted the county to go back and make a second look before the notice goes out. Once the notice goes out, now the onus is on me, the taxpayer. I'm intimidated. I don't know what to do, right? I'm facing this challenge, but Let's at least make the county go back and give the hard look and say, you know what, that's out of whack. That whole street is off. That property is out of step. Something that just makes them go and look and make sure that they did it right the first time. So that's all the first bit does. And the second bit is designed to get into when you're successfully appeal, you shouldn't have to keep getting pegged up there high, right? Because this appeals process has gone in and said, whatever value we had is reasonable. You came up with, you have established fair market value. And so it can't be here every time when you've established its fair market value in this year. And so the other piece of this bill, the other significant piece of this bill says, listen, where you've successfully appealed in year one, we are going to presume that that value it plus whatever else that area is doing, if it's going up 5% or 10%, so that base value plus whatever the average that same property is doing, we're going to presume that that is your fair market value in year two. County can come in and rebut that if there's some unusual set of facts, but we're going to at least give the taxpayer the benefit of the presumption that where they appealed in the last year and we just had an average increase, that's going to be fair market value. So that's what we tried to do with this bill. It was sad. It was a tragedy for me that it failed on the last night of the session, just simply for lack of consideration. I don't think it dropped any votes in the House or the Senate. And it may seem funny to give credit to people for a bill that didn't pass, but I did want to thank my constituent, Don Youngblood, for his tireless efforts, really coming back and showing multiple problems across his properties. The Utah Association of Counties, particularly their assessors group, Lincoln Fillmore, and then John Ulibarri was enormously helpful. Billy and Howard from the Taxpayers Association provided a ton of work on it, and then Andrea Valenti Arthur, who is our drafting attorney, all did a lot of work on this. So it was a rewarding process. We came a little bit short, but we've got that bill filed, and I'm sure it'll sail through this next session. So it's great to be with you today. I hope that's a helpful perspective. Thank you.